Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. On today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to talk about healthcare's new digital front door. And it's not something you could buy at your local hardware store. So today we're going to talk about what do we mean by digital front door, what the COVID-19 outbreak taught us about having a digital front door, and how we can make that digital front door open to all patients. Propping the door open on this conversation today are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Dave, even though I have no idea where that phrase originated.
Sounds like you got some research to do. Julie, how are you today?
I have to agree. It's been a week, but it's a good one.
All right. Thanks. Now, before we talk about digital front doors, I wanted to ask you about yours. Dave, have you ever encountered any type of automated system like a chatbot or a symptom checker when you've tried to access a medical service?
Well, an idle mind is a terrible thing to waste. So I've been having some fun, which tells you a little bit about me, trying to see how difficult it is to register for COVID-19 vaccinations in Illinois. And whether it's a public site or a private site, you got to go through one of these lists that you're talking about where you answer questions and they're chatbots. So I'm getting a lot of exposure to it. But the one thing that's kind of cracked me up is there's an ethnicity question that comes on all of them. And it asks whether you're Hispanic or Latino, a non-Hispanic or Latino, or of unknown ethnicity. And I still don't know how to answer that question.
If you get the secret code, make sure you share that with me because I'm experiencing the same thing. How about you? Any interactions with chatbots or automated front-end services when you needed care?
You know, I think about this more so when I'm making an appointment at One Medical or I need something at One Medical, and you log on to their site and they ask you a series of questions about your health concerns or the type of visit you want. You get scheduled right there. So that's a digital front door to just going to see your doctor every day.
Yeah, I think scheduling a doctor's appointment has gotten a lot like ordering curbside pickup for food. They make you go to a website to do either. And usually when I do, the website usually doesn't have exactly what I need. So I end up calling anyways. And then when I do, my kids roll their eyes, you know, when they hear me ordering food over the phone, like it's, you know, something from the 20s, you know. All right, let's talk about digital front doors in healthcare. Dave, how would you define a digital front door? How should they work? And how did they work during the pandemic?
The term digital front door is great nomenclature. It replicates the actual experience of knocking on someone's door. When a stranger comes to my door, I want to know three things: who they are, why they're here, and how I can help them. And that's essentially how the digital front door works in healthcare. It handles registration, uses logic trees to diagnose and assess basic needs, uses chatbots to answer basic questions, schedules appointments, handles electronic communications, provides a repository for medical information, including caregiver notes and lab results. It's once the patient steps inside the virtual house that it gets much more interesting. Activities shift to virtual care modalities like the many forms of telemedicine, patient monitoring, use of AI for diagnosis and predicting vulnerability to disease. Front door activities are fairly advanced and in widespread use. Like Julie, I'm a One Medical user and just am blown away by how easy it is to interact with their website. The in-house activities are expanding, but it's still early days. The pandemic has been an accelerant. There have been dramatic increases in both digital front door activities and virtual care activities during the pandemic. Regulators have opened the floodgates by equalizing payment for virtual visits with physical visits, enabling providers to cross state lines and practice at top of license, and the industry has responded at scale. We're learning to differentiate between different types, use cases, and patient populations for virtual care services. Many studies are now emerging assessing how digital and virtual care services have performed during the pandemic. there's still a great deal to learn, but what we have learned with certainty is that digital and virtual care services will have a much greater presence in U.S. healthcare going forward than they did before the pandemic.
Thanks, Dave. Julie, what's your definition of a digital front door, and what lessons did we learn based on how they performed during the pandemic?
Well, Dave, health systems all of a sudden adopted digital front door technologies almost immediately when COVID hit. They knew that was one of the only ways they were going to be able to provide access and preserve revenue. So some of the functionality that you've seen adopted, certainly a provider directory and provider search. People want to know if their doctor they want is there or the kinds of doctors they have. Transparency tools, not so much transparency about cost quite yet, but we're getting there. People want to be able to schedule online today, Dave, just like you want to order your dinner. And I think, though, the digital front door is most powerful for triage and care navigation. How do you find out enough about the person to get them to the right side of care, the right provider, and do so in the most cost-effective way possible, which then turns into that virtual visit? And, you know, frankly, I know everything I know about digital front doors from my friend and digital luminary, Molly Coy, who is an advisor to Avia. And one of her famous quotes is, "The pandemic blew the digital front door wide open," which I think is really true. You know, we're now seeing much more sophisticated use of CRMs. Molly is one of the people who talks a lot about the importance of several different modalities. You know, we love to talk about chatbots and avatars and the cool parts of how technology can really help almost pre-diagnose to really help triage the best. But the voice modality is so important when you think about what we're learning from the pandemic about those who were left out in the cold, so to speak, didn't have the same kind of access to telehealth, virtual visits, and the like. So, you know, these different modalities that people talk about are really important. And we should, by the way, be watching how Biden handles what CMS is willing to pay for, because the fraud issues, the fraud concerns around some of this vary quite greatly. And I would just say this, you know, the exciting part to me is there's two types of digital front doors that are emerging. One is the provider systems we've talked about, and they're obviously trying to really create more access to market share and prevent leakage with digital front doors. But more interesting, I think, are health plans, employers, and virtual care models like PlushCare that are starting to deploy technologies like this to bypass a provider and offer services directly to members, directly to employers, and directly to consumers.
Interesting. Dave, anything to add to Julie's comments?
Well, that last point about bypassing providers is really powerful. So, Julie, thanks for bringing that up. What I'd add to the discussion is I get a headache when I start reviewing all the various regulatory guidelines for applying virtual care. And they tend to be very focused on process and protocols and less focused on outcomes. And it just feels to me like the market is moving too quickly to try to predetermine how to use all these things in a top-down manner. I'll give you a story from another era. I used to sit on the audit committee of a large health system. We probably spent 70-80% of our time doing regulatory compliance. And at one meeting, brought forward a case of a physician that was using a lower cost drug and billing for a higher cost drug. And everybody was appalled, and he ended up losing his license. But after we went through that discussion, I asked the person who was leading it, well, did it work? And she looked at me like I had six heads, and she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, did the lower cost drug work as well or better than the higher cost drug? And they said it seemed to have the same efficacy. And I said, well, why aren't we using that all the time? And I tell the story because it illustrates just how process can overwhelm the discussion about outcome. And at the end of the day, what we really should care about is how do we get the best outcome? And digital front door and virtual care services offer innumerable ways to dramatically improve healthcare. But I'm worried that we'll fall into the trap of overregulating it top down and frustrate innovation and progress.
Interesting. A good transition to the next topic, which is how we make these digital front doors work better. Julie, if you were developing a digital front door strategy, or a hospital or a medical practice, or as you mentioned, a health insurer, what would be kind of two or three essential parts of that strategy?
Well, first I'll say if the systems and practices don't think about developing the strategy today, someone else will, and they'll gain control of their patients. So the time is now. And, you know, whatever I would do, I would be thinking about the access and what the barriers to access are. We learned a lot during the pandemic, unfortunately. We saw that Black, Latinx, older, poorer people don't use video visits as much. So broadband access, how to really develop in multiple languages that are in your market, dealing with disabilities and the like, that is what provides the beauty of the access of virtual. So I would really be thinking about this cultural competence component. For virtual visits, the factors that have produced the most ROI for providers have, again, come back to the number of modalities. So this voice, chatbot, video, et cetera, that we've talked about. The ability to integrate patient history into the experience has been really helpful to making the seamless interaction work. Benefit check and claims generation, so integrating the insurance components that are most critical. And prescription lab ordering and automated follow-up, really helpful to make sure that that is a visit, like a true visit that functions just like your bricks and mortar. Not surprisingly, Dave, it's what you would experience if you went to the office, but how do you do so in a super seamless way for both the consumer or the patient and, frankly, the provider? And that's been part of the issue. There's a lot of kind of feature function companies out there today, and not everything is integrated with the EHR. So it's still a little bit messy, and integration's key. I would, however, really focus on leveraging AI where I could, because AI is going to be where you get the most leverage out of these tools. This is not about, you know, a bunch of humans on the other end of the phone or the video chat solely. It has to be intelligent. So really understanding and taking advantage of AI as it evolves is going to be key.
Cultural competency and use of AI. Great. Thanks, Julie. Dave, how do we make sure that digital front doors work for everyone and no one is locked outside of the system? What are your two or three secrets to success?
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I don't think we're going to fundamentally change the way we deliver care until we change the way we pay for care. And that applies in virtual care modalities as much as any other modality. A couple of months ago, I was talking to Mike Picotes, one of the founders and CEO of Oak Street Health, and they focus on treating dual eligible individuals, so older, poor people who by definition are the very types of individuals that aren't using virtual care services as much as the broader population. And Mike said at Oak Street, they went from 98% in-person visits at their clinics within a two-week period of time to 98% virtual visits, either over the phone or through the computer with their members. And in many ways, the care got better, not only maintained, but got better because there was this more ongoing engagement. And the other thing Mike said that I found fascinating, he said he wasn't at all worried about how did they, you know, bill for this or code for it or make sure the revenue was coming in. They get a capitated payment. They were getting the same amount of money. They were just focused on how could they provide better care for patients. And fundamentally, that comes down to engagement, really getting to know and build relationships with your customers, learning to have them trust you, and you work with that trust to help them solve their particular health and healthcare problems. So that's the secret sauce. I think once we get the payment aligned in the right way, companies like Oak Street will show us the way. They'll be incredibly innovative and they will engage. And if we're paying to have engagement with those that are left out, they'll figure out how to do it. So engagement, trust, those are the secrets.
Thanks, Dave. Julie, anything to add to Dave's comments?
It's so fun to talk about the technology when you talk about all this, and certainly the payment for sure. But the humans involved in this are going through incredible change. And at the end of the day, this isn't just about technology, it's about organizational change management and the hard work of changing human behavior. So the importance of thinking about how you're going to staff to this new digital modality and information flowing in, how do you align incentives for physicians and others who are going to be changing their jobs and changing how they do things? How do you actually think about layering in now coaches and other lower cost clinician types to really get the leverage you can out of this. So we're at the very beginning of what I think is going to be a huge shift in what providers certainly look like as they shift to digital.
Thanks, Julie. You know, I just want to be able to click on what I want on my burger. I don't want to unclick what I don't want on it, right?
Good analogy.
Pretty basic.
Cheeseburgers in paradise.
Yeah, let me pick it and it'll be fine. All right, let's talk about the week ahead. Julie, what's the big healthcare news we should be watching for next week?
I'm just going to say, I would not have predicted that both Dave Wichmann, CEO of United, and Ken Frazier, CEO of Merck, would step down in the same week this week. So I've decided, Dave, that I'm terrible at these predictions. But if I could pick a safe one, I think we're due for another digital health IPO.
Okay. We'll be on the lookout for that. Dave, what's the big healthcare headline next week?
Well, I saw early this morning the Senate passed almost all of President Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package. And buried in that is a change in how the exchanges will allocate subsidies. It will do it on a percentage basis than a fixed dollar amount basis. And that will have the effect of granting subsidies to higher income individuals and dramatically lowering the monthly payment for lower income individuals. So I don't know that it will get a lot of attention with impeachment and the overall bill, but if that goes through as currently structured, I think there's a potential to see much more robust exchanges emerge from this, because what we've discovered is the lower health insurance costs, the more people are able to get it and do buy it on these exchanges.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Julie. That is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You also can find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming services. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Burda for Foresight Health.